Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mondo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mondo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mondo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mondo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mondo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Hello, I'm good, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays.
And I forgot to mention them last show, but also welcome WNYmedia.net out of Buffalo, New York. How is everybody doing out there? It is 7:30 p.m. Sunday, April 17th, 2005, and I was trying to get the show done yesterday, but, you know, I just got tired. I was doing some other things. The wife is taking a little nap after taking some pain pills, and she's just kind of struggling over there. I'm by myself this week. Phyllis and Rick had other things to do, so they weren't able to be here. That's okay. We'll get guests when we can get guests down here. You know, these people live a ways away, and it's not easy for them to come down here to Decatur. And, of course, I can't bring the studio elsewhere. That's a real pain in the butt. So, anyway, welcome to the show. There's been a lot of stuff going on this last week. Politically, and God, I don't even know where to start because there are so many things going on. There was an article in the New York Times magazine today about the attempt of a small group of people to basically overturn all of the New Deal legislation, and they're calling themselves the Constitution in Exile. And I wanted to touch on that just a little bit about it because they really don't believe that the government had any right to interfere with the country economically speaking, even though it's been proven throughout the 50s and the 60s that when the government steps in on a necessary basis, it's generally good for the country. I mean, it's bad for the country when you have the sort of wealth distribution that we have going on here, with more and more money being sucked out of the middle class and up into the people who are extremely, extremely rich. That doesn't make for a very good society. People are tense, people are nervous, and eventually people get pissed off enough so, you know, the pitchforks and the torches come out. I don't want it to get that bad here in this country. It's certainly heading that way. It's not quite there yet. It might take another, you know, few years or so for things to get really bad. But there's just so much stuff going on, more stuff out of Ohio about rigged elections. But what these people are doing is a big thing and a big part of all the whole thing the right wing has been trying to do ever since Goldwater was defeated in, what was it, 64? Hang on a second, let me get some water here. But they call themselves the Constitution in Exile, and basically they want to go back to the days of laissez-faire capitalism where, you know, there's really no, you know, since the government's going to be there, and let me, for the people, for the objectivists and the Randians and all the other people, the libertarians who think that, you know, you're not going to have a government somehow that we can all run things by ourselves if we were all, you know, wonderful moral people, blah, blah, blah. let me tell you the truth is that you're going to have some form of government one way or the other. And by endorsing a sense of laissez-faire capitalism, the government is essentially capitulating to the demands of the very wealthy and the very powerful to basically run our lives. And, you know, they're not running it for our benefit. They're running it for their benefit. And while they have every right to make a profit, we have every right to stand up and say, no, we deserve a decent living. And, you know, it's even stupid on their side, because if nobody's making any money, how are they going to, you know, sell anything to anybody? But there's a small group of people, lawyers, lobbyists, stuff like that, different organizations that basically want to take us back to before the days of the Great Deal. My answer to the New York Times when I wrote them a letter about it, and I really didn't put this on the blog, I should have. I said, you know, the problem with all the libertarians and the objectivists and all those people is that they're always operate under the assumption that people, business people in particular, are going to act in, because of their own self-interest, they're going to act in everybody else's best interest. And the truth of the matter is, most of them are just a bunch of greedy cocksuckers who should never be allowed near the reins of power, at least as far as the government is concerned. They have a right to run a business to a certain extent, but we have a right to put our foot down and say, no, what you're doing causes damage. And one of the things that they want is they didn't want the government to compensate a business if they're, you know, there are environmental regulations, which means that it's basically bribery to keep them from polluting, you know. Well, you know, you don't want us to pollute. Well, pay us the money we would have made if we polluted the other. That's horseshit. That's horseshit. You don't have the right to throw poison into the air and into the water. And the only reason you were able to get away with it is because you held, you know, figures of government in your pocket for many, many years. Even after the liberals took over, there was still plenty of people who were on the take in the government. I mean, I'm not sitting here, you know, putting sainthood on all of our liberal politicians throughout the 50s and 60s. But the truth of the matter is, for the most part, people did very, very well, economically speaking. You know, up through the 70s. It was in the 80s that things started to really get bad, you know, after Reagan's economic policies. Clinton tried to help out somewhat, and he did what he could under enormous pressure and under enormous opposition. But, of course, once George W. Bush got in, that was it. I mean, the economy's a wreck now. I'm a wreck. I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. But I'm personally in bad financial shape. What are we, negative 250 in the bank as I record this? And that's ridiculous. And it's all because I can't save enough money. And what's really killing me are the overdraft charges. I got a couple of things bounce on me, and they charge me $33 a pop. And that's basically ripping me off. But what can I do? I'll call up the bank, and sometimes they'll take the charges off. But the fact of the matter is that I'm spending more money than I'm taking in. And it's not like I'm spending stuff on luxury items. I mean, I'm buying food and stuff. And it's not even like I'm buying friggin' steaks and stuff like that. I buy ramen noodles. I buy whatever's on sale, you know. And you turn out a $7 purchase at the store winds up turning into a $40 purchase because they charge me $33 if the thing bounces. So that's why I'm in a situation. I had six things like that bounce, and even though those six things weren't for very much, average about $10 each, it's just the idea of all the extra charges that are doing that to me. And they've been passing a couple of bills. They passed this estate tax thing recently, and I want to talk about this. So again, there's just so much, and I'm just going to go back and forth among the different stuff. Along with the bankruptcy law that they're trying to pass to make it more difficult for people to declare bankruptcy, while, of course, leaving intact all the loopholes for the very rich, the ones who really cause damage when they go bankrupt. But for people like me who are heavy in debt, it makes it harder for me to just declare bankruptcy and start with a clean slate and start over again. And I was actually trying to raise enough money to declare bankruptcy, because I have to declare the kind of bankruptcy where you just don't pay anything back. And in Georgia, that cost about $600 or so to file for that. And because I cannot afford right now to make any payments on anything. In fact, I'm probably about $20,000 or $30,000 in the hole for different things, including a couple of lawsuits, and it's really, really bad. God Almighty! And if I had the money to declare that kind of bankruptcy, I would have. But it's a shame that it has to come to that. But the estate taxes is something that they've been pushing, and they call it the death tax. and try to make it sound like it's this big, oppressive thing, when the truth of the matter is it only affects a very, very few people in this country and people who can frankly afford it. And it's not like they're taking everything. What a lot of people don't understand is that there are certain things that are not taxed, like houses and stuff like that. If you give somebody a house, that's property. That's not taxed. And also, the first, if you want to give actual money, the first, I think, $1.5 million is tax-free. You don't pay any taxes on that. And then anything above that is taxed on a progressive scale. But most of the people, you know, most of the people who die, they find a way to, you know, loophole it somewhere and put it in other properties. Some people will go to the extent of building big public buildings, like Carnegie Hall, for example, was built because the guy wanted to spend, you know, when he knew he was going to pass away, he wanted to spend his money on something that was worthwhile. So he built Carnegie Hall. And, you know, the government doesn't mind that because it gets something really good in return. We get, you know, a beautiful theater like that. And they don't mind it because they get to put their money where they want it to go instead of just handing it over to a government bureaucracy where they may or may not like where the money's going to head to and where it gets spent pretty quickly. But what they're trying to do is make this, you know, they had like a 1 year deferral on this thing, which saves the people who have the kind of money to leave millions and millions of dollars to their kids. They don't pay any taxes on that at all, but they want to make that permanent. And people on the left are calling it the Paris Hilton law because it just means that, you know, people like that who were born into great wealth get to keep it all. They never have to have any responsibilities towards society, the society that helped make them rich in the first place. You know, if you want a real unbridled capitalism, let's go down to Colombia. That's about as real unbridled capitalism as you can get because that's where the drug lords are. They run the country. They run the government no matter what they try to say. And the truth of the matter is that they have their own little armies and they have their own ways of getting business done. And if that's what we want, then let's just scrap everything and let's go for that. Everybody grab your guns and start shooting and shit. We'll have organized crime because you know what? That's exactly what's going to take over. Organized crime. If you don't have a strong government that's run by law and that's got the backing of the will of the people, then all you're going to have is organized crime. I mean, we still had it even when we had rule of law in this country, but there's always things you can do to prevent that. And it certainly wasn't that way for everybody. People could still go out and go to work and not be affected by organized crime. And now everybody's affected by it because really what the Bush family is nothing more than a big organized crime family. That's all they're doing. I mean, they act exactly the same way. God, so many different things. There was a thing on Daily Coast about how that basically when there's reports that make them look bad, they just kind of sweep it under the rug. They decide not to publish the reports anymore. So, but anyway, it's all part of a whole big thing. I mean, the whole Constitution in Exile thing, the estate tax is all part of that. The bankruptcy laws are all part of that. And basically what they want is they want to have a situation where it's only working people who wind up paying the bulk of the taxes. If you make money from your work and your sweat, that gets taxed. But if you make money from money, that is, if you have money in the bank and you get money from interest or from a sale of something, you know, that doesn't get taxed. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make it as simple as possible because it's a very complex issue and a lot of people can't understand it. But the brunt of it is that it's just another way they are robbing from us. And that's really what they're doing is robbing for us and stealing us. Remember, does anybody remember Leona Helmsley? She was the hotel magnate in New York in the 80s. And she wound up going to jail for a few years. And she was famous for making the remark that only little people pay taxes. And that's basically what it is. Only the little people pay taxes. Because we're not rich enough or powerful enough or have cronies in government, friends in government that can help us out. And that's really what they want. They don't want competition. They want this kind of entrenched social system where the very wealthy stay very wealthy and everybody else just fends for themselves. Look, I don't have any problem with rich people having a lot of money. I mean, if they work hard for it and they've earned it, sure, why not? Quite frankly, I see what some of the things that people do to get that way. And frankly, you know, they can have their lives, all their money. They're just as miserable, if not more, than anybody else. And they're always got to drive themselves. And most of them are such a bunch of total assholes to begin with. I don't want to become like that. I mean, I'm an asshole in my own way, but I'm a nice person. Even as poor as I am, If I see someone on the street that's worse off than me, if I've got some money and if I can spare a buck or two, I'll give it to somebody. You know, I'm like that. And my wife is like that, too. Like I keep saying, we, by all rights, should be homeless. We should be homeless. Because we're so far behind on the rent. It's only by the grace of our landlord that we are able to have a place to live. You know, it's kind of like living with our parents. It's kind of like, don't worry, just pay what you can, and, you know, we'll get caught up later on. Of course, you know, unlike my parents, he expects to get the money back, and he will get it back. Eventually, I hope to get a job. Actually, you know, one of the things I'm doing while I have time at home is I got a copy of AutoCAD 2005, and I'm learning how to use AutoCAD. You can make a lot of money with that. And really, CAD is not that much different from desktop publishing. And if I can figure this whole deal out, then I can do a lot better for myself because you can make some serious money. You don't have to be an architect, but you can work for architects or you can work for people. And you can make really serious money, the type of money that I'm looking to get, $50,000 to $100,000 a year. That's what I want to get. That's what I want to earn. And then unless a radio gig comes up, which would be nice. And again, email Sirius and Air America Radio. Tell them you want Joe on the air. You want your cup of Joe. Tell them that. Let me take a quick little break here because I've been yammering on about this. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about my personal situation. I know some of you out there don't like that. But, you know, if it happened to me, it can happen to you. Don't kid yourself. We're living in a world now where you can't take anything for granted. Certainly the poor people at Siemens who have been working there for many years and assumed their jobs are going to be there forever, they got caught off guard, some of them, by the announcement that whole shop was closing. And any kind of job out there that you have, you know, unless you're good at something else to make money, any job that you have out there is not secure. And you could very easily wind up in my position. So anyway, let's take a little break. We're going to hear from our friends at Buzzflash.com, and we'll return after that. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Tucker Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. This is the first time we're bestowing our Hypocrite of the Week on a couple, and in this case, we don't even know both their names. But any guy who would marry Arthur Finkelstein has got to be a hypocrite, because the love of his life has made a living off of doing pond scum political consulting for anti-gay GOP candidates. You see, Finkelstein, who made his professional mark helping Jesse Helms rise to his perch of infamous and destructive power, wed his longtime male partner in a Massachusetts ceremony recently. According to Finkelstein, the wedding was conducted in order to get, quote, visitation rights, health care benefits, and other human relationship contracts that are taken for granted by all married people and should be available to partners, unquote. The hypocrisy challenge for Mr. and Mr. Finkelstein to explain is how come Arthur makes his money supporting right-wing demagogues who rally the GOP faithful by opposing just such rights for gays. Arthur's latest Republican slime assignment is to raise millions of dollars to launch a Stop Her Now anti-Hillary Clinton campaign. Finkelstein would obviously prefer a gay-baiting Republican because he is, as Bill Clinton said, full of self-loathing. Hey, maybe Arthur is a true believer, and after 40 years with his male partner, wanted to stop practicing abstinence, as Bush and the American Taliban preach for unmarried couples. But we sincerely doubt it. Like most Republican leaders, Finkelstein is just another moral schizophrenic. The least he can do is devote his brain to science. There's much to be learned about how so many GOP leaders can be in denial about their values gap. So we offer our special BuzzFlash.com marriage gift to the happy couple. Mr. and Mr. Finkelstein, congratulations on receiving this week's GOP Hypocrite of the Week dishonor. It's the least we can do for a couple bound to spend their honeymoon wallowing in their own destructive hypocrisy. Until next week, remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com. So many Republican hypocrites. Whew, so little time. Catch up with you soon. We'll be right back.
It's the Onion Radio News. Denny's introduces just a humongous bucket of eggs and meat. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Celebrating its 42nd anniversary, the Denny's restaurant franchise announced a major addition to its menu today. Just a humongous bucket of eggs and meat. Don Turnby, a longtime Denny's customer, reacted positively to the enormous pail of food.
It's really good. I like eggs and meat a lot. So I guess it makes sense that I would like a lot of eggs and meat.
When asked if he would order just a humongous bucket of eggs and meat again at Denny's, Turnby said he would have to wait and see how the whole thing sits with him later. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News. Pick up The Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And show 100 is coming up. And I'm still getting suggestions and stuff like that for show 100. We'll see what I want to do with it. But if you have a suggestion for me, send it in to me, joevec@bellsouth.net, or leave a comment on the blog in the comment section for this show. How is everybody doing? It's 20 after 8, Sunday, April 17th. My wife is sitting now at her computer, which is not hooked up to the internet because we have problems with that. She's got like Windows 98, and it's really annoying because she wants to get on, and I want to get on, and we're always fighting over it. So, you know that. But you know, we get out and do things, don't we, honey? We get out and do things, even though we're poor. And let me relate this, because I talked about this last segment, and I want to talk about it this segment too. We're just in a real bad financial situation right now. I don't even know if I'm going to be getting any more unemployment checks. I don't remember if it was 13 or 15 weeks, but we're just about out of that. And I don't know if it's going to be extended or not, what I have to do for that. I'm still looking for work, and, you know, it just hasn't been easy. Actually, I kind of held off the last week because of my wife's surgery and because of the week before last, because of the wife's surgery and because of my sister's wedding when I went up there for that, which, by the way, did not really cost me anything. It all cost me enough for train fare back and forth to the airport and for parking for the car. So the whole thing cost me less than $15 because my sister paid for the plane ticket, and we had all sorts of food and stuff. So at any rate, just so you don't think I'm blowing all my money on these frivolous plane trips and stuff like that. But an interesting thing happened to us, and I want to point this out from a religious point of view, because there's been a lot of stuff about religion going on in the news lately. Well, with Senator Bill Frist attending a conference for a bunch of people who were saying that if the judges aren't, you know, looking toward God to make their decisions, then they shouldn't be judges, which is absolutely ridiculous. The judges should look towards the Constitution first. That's their job. You know, people should look to God from a personal point of view, but not from a professional point of view along those lines. I mean, if you're a judge, your highest authority has to be the Constitution of the United States, period. That's got to be your highest authority, professionally speaking. But at any rate, it's all part of the attempt for the American Taliban, as BuzzFlash referred to them and how I refer to them, to impose their religious views on all of us. And for those Republicans who voted Republican just because they usually do and are not aware that their party has been hijacked by these people, well, you know, you voted for them, and it's up to you to determine whether or not you're going to continue to vote for them, considering that. But I'm not generally a very religious person myself. I'm an agnostic, and my wife and I have fights about this from time to time. Not really fights, but disagreements. No fights. She's thrown things at me. But that's because she was off her back still. No. But we have had discussions about this, serious discussions, and she's been on here to talk about it in the past. And I wanted to make it clear, I'm an agnostic. I am not an atheist. I am not a Christian. Although I don't have a problem with Jesus, I don't have a problem with a lot of the things Jesus said or talked about. You know, when humans get a hold of stuff like this, you know, everything just goes all crazy. And people, as I heard somebody say, people grab the wrong end of the stick and start beating around the bush with it. And I'm not a big fan of organized religion. I just, you know, if you're a truth seeker, and I don't even know if I'm really a truth seeker or not. Sometimes I let the truth try to find me. I don't take as huge an active role. I've got my own concerns right now, just trying to, you know, keep afloat, economically speaking. But the thing is, I'm not an atheist. Because an atheist is as certain that there is no God as a religious person is certain that there is one. My argument has always been, I don't know if God exists or not. And assuming God does, which I kind of sort of do, or at least in the idea, as the idea of some power greater than anything we can currently comprehend, then God takes on a completely different form than the image that we get. I mean, we obviously, because we're humans and because a religion has become such a strong cultural force in human history, throughout, regardless of what era you're talking about, going back any time, religion has always been a major force. It's always very difficult to try to separate what something like God is, being all-powerful and all-knowing and stuff like that. I simply can't comprehend anything like that. So we always tend to put a very human touch on that. That's you know, kind of clouds the way we see things sometimes. But sometimes things happen that kind of make me wonder. And a perfect example is what happened a couple of days ago. Now, like I mentioned, that we're really bad off money-wise. We're at this point, we're negative $250 in the bank. That's negative. I only get $100 a week, $190 a week unemployment, which means I have to wait until the week after, two Wednesdays, not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, before I see a positive in the bank account. And that's really, really bad. And you know, if you want to donate something, if you want to throw some money in the tip jar, everything's welcome. I'm not, you know, again, I don't want to seem like that's the only reason why I'm doing this. But if you want to throw a couple of dollars in, or if you know somebody who can afford to donate some money, you know, don't be afraid to do it. You know, I'm just trying to keep my head above water here. I'd like to continue to do the show as long as I possibly can. But as I mentioned, seriously, we should be homeless by now. But by all reckoning, we should have lost all of our property and just be homeless. The way things are for us financially. And some of that is my fault. Some of that is just the way things are. You certainly can't say, for my wife's sake anyway, that it was, in her case, it was a lack of effort, because she's been sick and she's basically worked herself out of it. But we're in bad financial circumstances right now. But even when we're bad off money-wise, it never stops me from just trying to go out and just do something to avoid being overly depressed about it, because you know, I still think that we're here, at least in part, to have some fun. So we just went out to a mall the other day. It was the North Lake Mall, I think it was, and just to do some window shopping. And actually, I was looking at some sewing machines. I used some PayPal money that I had, and I bought a $20 sewing machine on eBay, which worked okay for about five or six pair of pants, but then is not working now, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. So I've been thinking about getting a serious sewing machine, and I just wanted to see how much they cost. And surprisingly, they're very cheap. We saw a very good one, didn't we, honey? We saw a very good one at Sears for like $89, which if I ever get the opportunity to get, I'm going to pick up. It was a very, very good-looking sewing machine. Really, more than what I need, because all I really want to do is hem pants. And we're trying to do this so we can save money. You know, I buy a pair of pants at a thrift store for like $4, and then because I have a big waist and short legs, you know, I'm 5'2", I weigh about 200, so I've got, you know, like a 40-42 waist, and I need about 25-inch inseam. So I have to hem each of these pants, and it costs $7.50, which is actually more than what I paid for the pants. So it really puts a crimp on me to buy these pants and not even be able to wear them. So I got this little sewing machine to help me out, and I learned at least how to use the little one, and I can learn how to use the big one. That's no big deal. I'm fairly good with my hands. And that way it'll save me $7.50. Hell, the pants will pay for themselves after I buy a few pair. At any rate, we were just going up there, and we were wandering around, and while we were wandering around, we were snagged by some people who were doing a poll, and they were offering us $5 each to do a poll. Actually, they got my wife first. They couldn't take us together, but they got my wife first, and then somebody came around and got me later on because, you know, it was different people, and I don't even know. What the hell? It doesn't matter. At any rate, I was thinking, okay, well, at least we each get $5, and that'll be enough to buy perishable food, because we have some food in the house, probably enough to last us until, you know, we're in the positive again, unless somebody donates a bunch of money again. But, you know, we we had enough. We would have enough to at least go get some bread and some milk and stuff like that. Because I don't buy perishables in bulk. You understand? I don't buy a lot of milk because it doesn't keep. You know, I don't buy a lot of bread because it goes stale, and I hate stale bread. I've considered freezing it. Some people do that, but it never seems to work out just right for me. So, you know, I just get one loaf at a time. It's not that expensive. It's about a buck. Although, you know, when my parents used to pay, what, about 15, 20 cents? What was, do you remember how much bread was when you first started going shopping, honey? About 15, 20 cents a loaf, something like that. So, you know, we're paying a lot more for food items now than we did. And really, our salary hasn't been going up very much, which is one reason why a lot of people have fallen out of the middle class and into the poverty level. But at any rate, so we go in there and we take the poll. It was my wife was doing, what were you doing for, honey? What was it mostly for? Ocean spray. Cranberry and raisin. It was a juice or something? Oh, a snack. Ocean spray, cranberry raisins. And I was watching commercials for Planters peanuts. And I happen to love nuts, by the way. I like cashews. But they're very, very expensive. It's like $6 or $7 a can for any reasonable size can of cashews. And even the small bag is about a buck. They're very expensive, but I love them. And don't they come from Iraq? I think they come only from Iraq, from that area of the world. But at any rate, I took the poll. And when I finished and when my wife was done, we actually wound up finishing about the same time, even though she came in about 15 minutes before I did. I'm just that much faster a typist. I'm sorry. What can I say? And I can read faster, too. There was nobody there. I mean, the office where these people were in the mall, but they weren't like, they didn't have like an office space facing them. They just had a door. You had to go into the innards of the mall there, and that's where their office was. But there was nobody there. They were gone. And I thought, well, maybe they're just, you know, wandering around looking for other people. So I went out there to try to look for them, and they were just gone. And 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed. I'm like, where the hell are these people? You know, we wanted to get our $5. And I finally see I'm walking out because I need to use the restroom. I got to take a leak real bad at this point. And so I go out there, and I see a security guy. And I say, hey, you know, have you seen any of these poll people? And he's like, well, they should be in their office. And I said, well, you know, and he said, come on, I'll show you. And I said, but I just came from the office and nobody's there. And he said, what do you mean nobody's there? And I said, well, they're all gone. And I can't see him in the mall. I can't see him anywhere. So he calls up his people around the mall and they can't find them anywhere in the place. Another 15, 20 minutes pass and they're like, this is ridiculous. I mean, if we didn't need the $5 so each so badly, we would have, you know, we would have split a long time ago. It just simply wasn't worth it. You know, but so we go out and we're waiting and they finally show up. It took what, about 45 minutes, honey, total. So what should have been a 15 or 20 minute thing turned out to be like an hour and 15 minute ordeal from beginning to end, from the time when they got my wife to the time we finally finished. But they wound up giving us $15 each instead of $5 because we had been there for so long. We were there long enough to take 3 polls easily. So we wound up actually with enough money to get a little something at the food court there. Not a lot. Again, we try not to do frivolous things. So that's my big thing. Some people smoke. Some people drink. They spend too much money on that. Me, my big thing is eating out. But it's not like we go out to fucking steakhouses and stuff like that. You know, Taco Bell for me is eating out. At any rate, so it's when things like that happen, it always makes me wonder what the hell is going on. Because there was no reason for me to have gone out there. There was no reason other than just I just wanted to get out of the house. And they didn't have to stop us to take a poll. They just kind of did. And stuff like that is always happening to me. And, you know, it makes me just wonder. And it's the kind of thing that prevents me from being an atheist because it happens time and time again. And often enough so that it makes the whole idea of it being a coincidence a little hard to swallow. But, you know, if I was an atheist, it would really, really drive me crazy thinking about it, thinking it was just coincidence. But it happens time and time again. We always seem to manage to get a couple of bucks here and there or something happens. When we lost our apartment, I mean, we were really close to being homeless and we got help from a friend and we stayed at that place for a while. And then as soon as we were ready to leave there or as soon as we were needed to leave there, we wind up getting this little apartment here, which is basically like I said, a room in a basement that that the landlord is so nice that he doesn't worry about being back on the rent on. And again, if it wasn't for that, we'd be out in the street because there's no way we can rent an apartment. We don't have the money. Our credit rating's through the shitter. We you know, I don't even have enough to declare bankruptcy. So somebody out there is looking out for us. And one of the commenters on the blog said it was a pretty self-centered thing for me to say. You know, he said, this might have more weight if the world revolved around you, not to be harsh, but I think it should be said. Well, I don't really know what the hell's going on in that sense. I don't really think I'm being self-centered. I don't know if I'm deserving of it or not. It just seems to happen. And you know, sometimes I wonder, why is God looking after me, and why isn't he looking after people in Bangladesh or stuff like that? Why does stuff happen? Maybe just, I don't know. It's all too big and too complicated. But, again, it's why I'm not an atheist. It's why I'm not just like, you know, something's going on. Something's going on. Because I certainly don't deserve it in that sense, being unemployed and having trouble finding work. You know. And my friend Matt, who's like, a God that hands you $30 when you have no income is a pretty unimpressive supreme being. Any reasonably decent person could manage as much, which in fact is exactly what happened. And, you know, Matt is an atheist, and Matt is pretty hardcore about it too. And we've had some interesting discussions, but the thing about Matt is you can have an intelligent discussion with Matt. Some people you cannot have an intelligent discussion with about religion, and they're just nuts about it. And of course, some people are, you know, politically so. Like if you look at the hypocrite of the week from BuzzFlash, the two gay guys who they've been a gay couple for 40 years, and they're intentionally going out and helping politicians who are anti-gay. What the hell is up with that? Is there something wrong with people like that? So, you know, is it a coincidence? Is there somebody out there looking after me? I really don't have the foggiest friggin' idea. You know, I don't want to get the impression. I don't want to give the impression that I'm about to convert to any religion. You know, I am, and I'm going to remain an agnostic who just accepts the fact that there are things that we just can't understand, and at the very least, respect for our fellow humans and their right to believe what they believe should be first and foremost on our minds, even if we think what they believe is utterly ridiculous. And as I said before, I happen to like a lot of the things Jesus had to say because I think it's right that we ought to treat each other decently and help each other out. But however, whatever my personal feelings about life, the universe, and everything, they're my own damn business, period. And I don't mind trying to have an intelligent discussion about these, but I will not tolerate people trying to force me to change the way I think. And regardless of whether other doubts that I may have, there's one thing that I am absolutely certain of. If God is on the side of these wretched little hateful cockroaches, people like Delay, people like Frist, who take advantage of people's fear and people's faith to turn us against each other for their personal profit, then God doesn't deserve to be worshipped. I can't imagine God backing people like this. These people are, in my opinion, evil and insane, and we ought to do everything we can to keep them from the reins of power. Religion has been the cause of more hate and death than anything else in human history. And I hope one day the time will come when we just grow the hell up and stop listening to people who tell you that there's only one true belief, and that you have to take somebody else out in order to make yourself look good to God. I mean, I'm sure there's always going to be people who are going to be telling that. I just wish for once we would stop listening to them. Anyway, let's take another little break, and we'll have Stupid Boss Tricks coming up next. Sam, play us out.
The Cup of Joe Radio Show will be right back.
You're stupid mimes! Stupid! Stupid!
You're always this stupid, or did you take lessons?
Hey, stupid!
That's right, it's time once again for another episode of
Stupid Boss Tricks!
That part of the show where we point out how incompetent your boss is. And I'm sorry I didn't get to do this last show, but Phyllis and I got caught up in the whole election reform thing, and before I knew it, we were all out of time, and that's what happens when I have somebody in here and we can have a nice conversation. But we're back, and tonight's entry is from LB in Knoxville, Tennessee, who writes, Joe, love the show. Keep up the good work. I'm writing Air America Radio and Sirius to get you on the air over there because we need you. And, of course, I urge everybody to do that. Go on the blog, cupojoe.blogspot.com, And right at the top there, right below the banner, is a thing where it says email Sirius and Air America Radio to get me on the air over there. Hey, I need the work, man. Besides that, they need someone like me. That, you know, while it's nice that they have big celebrities like Franken and Janine Garofalo and Jerry Springer, we really do need somebody like me who can speak for people who are in this economic situation, or at least have been in this economic situation. I don't know that Janine Garofalo or Al Franken or Jerry Springer have ever been really, really poor like I am. I don't know if I've ever had to deal with having negative money in the bank. But anyway, on to what LB was writing. And he writes, my favorite stupid boss trick, and I have a few, goes back a few years. I worked in a small electronics assembly place. We built these little sensors that detected gas leaks like smoke alarms. And I was about the only white guy in a place filled with people from every current and former communist country you can imagine. We even had a guy who had just gotten out of Cuba. I assume he means that he was the only, like, American guy there working there. Naturally, the bosses there did everything they could to try to rip us off, knowing that these people wouldn't speak up. And that's pretty commonplace, actually, my comment there. The most obvious one was that they were going to have us do some training, which normally I'm all for. But not only were they not going to pay us for the time we went to the class, they were demanding that we pay them for the training for the tune of $250. Now, since this was a requirement for the job, it really wasn't anything more than a kickback. $250 was like half a week's work, or a little more than half a week's work, more than half a week's work. I told my fellow co-workers that what they were doing was at the very least immoral and probably illegal, but most of them went along with it anyway just to keep their job. Me, I up and quit. I found out later that 2 weeks after I quit, they up and moved to Birmingham, Alabama, where I assume they found people who would probably be willing to put up with even more BS. Anyway, thanks for letting me write this, and keep up the good work. LB in Knoxville, Tennessee. LB, thanks for that. And, you know, I've worked for a couple of places that used to pull stuff like that. You know, while I find it pretty amazing that some companies would be so willing to treat working people the way they do, what really surprises me is the willingness of so many people to just put up with it for the sake of keeping a crappy job. And as we can see from LB, in the end, they wind up losing their jobs anyway. It's like all the people over at Siemens who were fighting so hard and were willing to put up with whatever they wanted out of work just to keep their job, and they wind up losing their job anyway. Now, I know times are hard, and people don't always have the choice of just leaving their work, and I realize that, and I appreciate that. Hell, nobody really wants to be in the kind of financial situation I'm in, negative money in the bank, and, you know, just really, really, by all rights, we should be homeless, as I've mentioned. But whenever possible, I always urge people to leave any job that treats you like that, that treats your fellow workers like that, and to boycott companies that have a history of doing that to their employees. And I realize it's tough for you to sit there and, you know, debate about, you know, whether you buy a product if you're supporting something. Look, all companies, to a certain extent, are a little evil anyway. I think that's really kind of the nature of the game, you know, deception or you know, doing things that people normally wouldn't do because, you know, it means money for them. But for the really, really hardcore offenders, like in my example, Walmart, which is the biggest offender that I know of in the U.S., boycott them. Don't go there. Certainly don't work for them. You know, they only drive things down and they only make things worse for everybody else. Anyway, that's Stupid Boss Tricks for this show. Tune in next time for another edition of
Stupid Boss Tricks.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And of course, again, show 100 is coming up. And send us your stupid boss tricks. Email joevec@bellsouth.net. Tell me more. I've got a few stored up there, but I always want to hear new ones. And obviously, I'm getting them every day. A couple here, a couple there. So send me your stupid boss trick, and I will air it. Hopefully, if I don't get so many that I'm overwhelmed. But let me know, because, you know, like I said, the right wing is always trying to point out how incompetent government is. And you know, bureaucracy is bureaucracy. And, you know, stupid stuff happens at the workplace every day. And usually it's because of management incompetence. In fact, I've been I'm waiting. As soon as I finish the show here, I'm going to go watch the baseball game. And I love baseball. And, you know, all the talk about, you know, the labor strife and the labor relations and all that stuff. And people bitch about the players and all the money they make. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, the people who have tried to screw baseball over more than anybody else have been the owners. The owners have been the reason for most of the problems in baseball over the last, hell, since it began, really. It's been the owners that have been the problem and not the players necessarily. So, anyway, there you go with that. But send me your stupid boss tricks, JOEVEC at bellsouth.net. By the way, speaking of stupid stuff, how much spam do you guys get? I've been getting a lot of Viagra spam in the last few months or so, and actually it's kind of escalated. And I'm also getting these really weird spams that don't even sell anything. I mean, I can see the spam trying to sell people Viagra. And my deal was like, do people still fall for that? Or do people actually go, oh my God, I gotta have some Viagra. This guy sent me an email. It must be good. Does that go on? Somebody must be doing it or they wouldn't be sending it. It's the same thing with the Nigerian thing. They just had an article somewhere that it was 60 Minutes or someplace. They just had a whole thing about how that Nigerian scam is still getting people. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's a spam you get from someone. It started from Nigeria, who claimed to have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. And if you gave him your bank number and stuff like that, so they can transfer some of that over to you, because they're like, you know, an exiled former officer or government employee or something like that, you donate, but you have to donate X amount of money to start the transaction, and then you get all this money. And, you know, people have been falling for this shit for years. This goes back, I remember seeing the thing on 60 Minutes about this 10 years ago, but people still fall for it. And I'm trying to figure that out with the Viagra and with the other things. People still fall for this stuff? I guess there's still a lot of new people getting computers every day, and they don't realize that just because somebody sends you an email doesn't necessarily mean they're looking for it. I don't really mind it too much. I just delete it. But the weird one is that I'm getting is someone just sending me a quote that says something like, Florexidil is good for your doctor or something like that. And it's all is inside there is just a quote that I found out was from some poem or from some short story. And I'm like, what the hell is up with this? They're not even trying to sell anything. There's no virus in it, at least not according to my virus checker. At least I hope there's no virus in it. Maybe it's some spyware. I don't know what the hell it is, but I don't understand that at all. I can see people trying to rip people off. People have been doing that since the dawn of friggin' history. But just to send some spam for nothing? I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that. What is it? It's 8:48 p.m. Sunday, April 17th, 2005. How the hell did I think it was August? Why did I think it was August, honey? Oh, don't give me that look. She's sitting there just playing solitaire. What the hell is that? Where'd you get that king thing? Oh, okay. She's playing a different game in there. And I'm like, what the hell is that on her screen? We got to get that computer. Anybody have an extra copy of Windows XP? We need to get that up and running on her computer so that we can hook her up so that she can be on the computer and I can be on the computer at the same time. I got this little web hub, Ethernet hub, for like $5 off of eBay. So, as I mentioned, the other week I went over to New York City to go to my sister's wedding, and that was really cool. We had a good time. She's got a great husband. Bill is a great guy. He's a musician. He's an air traffic controller. I don't know. He's just like, he's one of those really, really cool people that everybody likes. And I'm real happy to have him in the family. And his relatives are fun, too. I like his relatives. So it's nice to have new additions. But while I was waiting in the airport, hang on, let me get a drink here. It's just water, by the way. So people have written me asking what I'm drinking. It's just water. It's bottled water. Sometimes it's Mountain Dew. I don't drink. I don't like take liquor and stuff like that. Not even beer. I don't like the taste of it. Not a moral thing. I just don't like the taste. Anyway, before I go off on that tangent, you know, if you go to the airport, you take a book or something to read because you know you're going to be there a little while. And actually, I know how to get my way around things pretty quickly because even though I haven't done a lot of flying, I know enough about it to just go in there and take care of my business. And especially since now everything's so much easier, you don't have to have anything but an ID. You don't need a ticket anymore, you know. And if you bring your ID, and in some cases you just bring your credit card. And we went by AirTran, and all I did was put the card in there, and it automatically threw up my reservation and printed out a little boarding pass, and I checked my baggage, and I got there about an hour and a half, I guess, before the plane left and got through security. No problem. But, you know, you still have to wait for about an hour, about 45 minutes, and I generally bring a book to read with me. And one of the things that I was bringing, that I brought with me to read, and I'm trying to keep this as short as possible because I know we only got about 3 minutes left here, but I was reading H. Beam Piper, who was my favorite science fiction author. He's not one of the more well-known ones, but he is a really, really great one. And at first glance, if you read his work, the big novels that he wrote were a little fuzzy. He actually had three fuzzy novels, but most of them deal with something called paratime, which is the art of moving sideways in time. I don't want to get into that too much, but a lot of it is political. And, you know, at first glance, he's a right-winger. He's a Heinlein-type right-winger because his main characters are always these kind of self-made men, you know, very individualistic, rugged individualistic. But there's always still an underlying respect for law and authority that's there and how you deal with certain people. And I wanted to bring this up because these books were written in the 50s, and there was a segment on stuff that was going on back then that, you know, those people have taken over now. And I'll get to that in a second. Hang on, let me read this quote and you'll understand more. When people travel through time like that, sometimes they accidentally pick up hitchhikers, people who are from one time zone and moved into another time zone. Again, I don't want to explain too much detail. And that happened to one of the main characters, a guy named Verkan Vall. And he was talking with his boss, Tortokarf, who was his superior. At any rate, he said, "I checked up on your hitchhiker, Vall. We won't bother about him. He's a member of something called the Christian Avengers, one of those typical Europo-American race and religious hate groups. He belongs in a time belt that's the outcome of the Hitler victory of 1940, whatever that was. Something unpleasant, I dare say. We don't owe him anything. People of that sort should be stepped on like cockroaches. And he won't make any more trouble on the line where you dropped him than they have there already. It's in a belt of complete social and political anarchy. Somebody probably shot him as soon as he emerged because he wasn't wearing the right sort of uniform." Now, that's a very interesting little quote there. And, you know, the Christian Avengers, you know, right-wing, religious hate groups. I mean, those are the people that are running the country now, basically. Or at least have a lot more influence in our government than they should. And those things were going on back in the 50s and so, and they're still going on today. And it's interesting the way he talks about dealing with that because, you know, he is generally a rugged individualist type right wing. And actually, looking back at it now, he's really more of a radical middle kind of guy. Practical solutions to practical problems. And I'm like that too. I'm not a big fan of bureaucracy. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we should go around, you know, killing, you know, Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell. You shouldn't do stuff like that. I mean, it's pointless, but you have to be more aggressive in keeping these people out of power. And that's really, really my point. The Weimar Republic failed long before Hitler took power just by not standing up to him. And we failed in the 70s and 80s. But anyway, I really got to go. We're running late. We'll be back next show. Talk to you then. Bye.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, oh, in a jar of John. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? You'd be a pot of Scott. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do every trick. Open a can of Dan. Make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mug, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
The Cup of Joe radio show has been recorded live at the fabulous Studio Al in Decatur, Georgia, and has been produced by Jove Enterprises, Incorporated. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe radio show, is a production of Mr. and Mrs. Vecchio of Brooklyn, New York.
A plate of Dave, creamer of Steve, a mug of Doug, a cup of